This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Top of the morning to you.
Oh, gosh.
Does it feel like top of the morning?
Not really.
Yeah.
Does that
do?
I don't know. Sometimes Tuesdays are the furthest away from my favorite day of the week.
Oh, I always forget this. And we are all so inconsiderate on a Tuesday morning. My apologies, Leanne. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. It is Tuesday, the 12th of March, 2019. Myself, Sia, and Leanne, and the rest of the crew will be here to take care of your mornings as Gareth is on day two of his holiday. Yes.
More or less.
Yeah, I was like, should I factor in the travel time and how he's feeling or what, time zones or whatever. Day two of his holiday. I haven't actually spoken to him directly, but he's been on the ball in terms of answering messages and still doing like some communication. I'm thinking, why aren't you
shutting off?
Yeah, why aren't you sitting somewhere with your feet up and relaxing?
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to have one of those holidays where he will end up needing a holiday from his holiday.
I don't know. Sometimes it's quite pleasant to go through your emails and keep on top of things when you're away. You're in a different setting. You've got a different view.
Not me.
You just want to shut off, which is a good thing as well.
I was trying to figure it out. Like, yeah, should I say it? No, it's just not me. Not me at all. I've never been that person. And I think what I look forward to in those 2 weeks in a year, late in December, when we take a proper break off, is the fact that I don't have to be on social media. I don't have, you know, because even when I'm not posting anything, I still need to be on social media to keep up with stories or what the trends are. But to be off my phone completely, to not look at emails and also not have the email guilt. You know, sometimes you have that thing where, yes, your phone could be off or you aren't using your phone. But you're probably sitting there going, oh, no.
How many are piling up?
Who's emailed now and how many more do I have to go through once I eventually turn my phone off? So it's all of that.
Yeah, and all of it's because we worry about what people will think of us, right?
Or just the pressures of life in general. It's not a bad thing, but it's just the pace at which life moves. Mm. And I actually wanted to bring this up with her when she arrives. Smongile, who helps us with the show here. I was texting her yesterday, and I see a response from her this morning. She says, oh, sorry, no, my phone shuts off notifications at 9 p.m., so I didn't see your message. What? How do you survive? What if something happens at 9:01? And she's just that person now who doesn't get notifications. I guess that's a boundary she has for herself. So
she can still receive a call, I'm sure, in case of an emergency, right? Yeah.
Use it, don't use it, I guess. Well, if you want to add anything to the conversation this morning, you can text us on 079-748-2090. You can also call us on 0861-555-189, or you can also Skype us on Cliff Central Studio. Can I let you know how I got my morning started this morning?
Oh, dear. What happened, dear?
No, it's a little pathetic, but I'm indulging my patheticness, my pathetic.
Patheticity is the actual
Thank
phrase.
You. That's why I knew you'd bail me out on this one, Leanne. So I woke up and took a bath because, you know, I don't take showers in the morning.
It's a good time for baths in the morning.
It is.
Anyway, go on.
One day I will leave a manuscript when I die and hopefully someone will look at my rules of life as, you know, Buddha's great life rules.
But sure. Yeah, keep dreaming.
But definitely that what is up there is don't take a shower in the morning. I think it's too startling to the body. There's already so much working against us in life. You don't need to be startled by your own morning routine.
Also, you're so young, you're pretty much fresh out the womb. So it's probably like feeling, you know.
You need to ease yourself into the day.
Right.
You need to like relax properly.
So you have a bath,
yes.
Right?
So
we don't need to know the bathing details.
Well, I will.
Oh,
let
no.
You know,
it's the about the bathing details.
No, it's not graphical, really, that bad. Uh-huh. But my bathtub has these steel handles on either side. And as I was climbing into the bath, I hooked my foot on one of those steel handles, and it was specifically my baby toe that got hooked on there. So firstly was the initial thud of just hitting my foot onto the handle. The second was just getting my baby toe hooked onto this. And I had a moment of, you know what? I'm an adult. I can deal with this. But then I thought, screw that moment, because I'm going to indulge in this. I proper had a boo-hoo-hoo sob.
From the pain?
from the pain. And it escalated so quickly. It was initially just the, this is so sore pain, because it really was sore. I was expecting to be bruised. And then it turned into, oh my goodness, well look, I'm about to break my foot and no one is here to take care of me. Where's my mother, right? I swear, Leanne.
Woe is you.
It turned into a good, I'll say easily like 15 minutes of a good sob this morning. You know?
What time do you get up that you have time for a bath and a sob?
Well, it was about like 4:45.
Like if I'm going to have a cry, I have to do it while I'm shampooing and just get it over and done with in 2 seconds.
While you're feeding
seconds.
The cats, while you're in traffic.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I was almost late this morning because I couldn't find my car keys. It's the classic age-old excuse.
Oh, no.
But I really couldn't. And I eventually found them hidden under... Let's see, what's 7.5 + 5?
My maths is
12.5 kilograms of pet food.
How did that happen? I
bulk shopped yesterday, yeah, and when I dumped everything onto the table, the keys were underneath all the cat food. So, yeah, you know, these are real first world problems, catching pinkies on tubs and... losing car keys under pet food.
Well,
know?
I think the car keys under the pet food is still very adult. It's still very rational. And for the most part, I think I am. But this morning I thought, listen to your body. If you want to cry, let it all out. If you want to feel bad for yourself, you'll feel better in 20 minutes. But for now, I'm going to properly sob.
Let's have images of you with like a rubber duck in the bath, hugging the rubber duck and sobbing.
Where's my mother right now? That's who I need. That's the only person who will make me feel better. Mfundo wants to know, morning guys, any new updates on the pastor waking up the dead case?
I saw more footage of it, you know, because when we initially saw the footage, it was just him sitting up in the coffin and a bit of cheering.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw more footage where he walks off and he looks like a marionette, like a puppet.
Well, the only other footage I've seen is of the quote-unquote resurrected dude also eating in the church.
Oh, I hadn't even seen that.
So clearly they thought, woof, dealing with the afterlife must be quite strenuous and you must be hungry.
Well, I mean, he hadn't eaten in a while.
Please. I don't have the patience, the energy, the capacity to deal with all of this at all. You know, over the past couple of days, I've seen the war of words between... So it's Pastor Alf, that's who woke the person up. And then there's also Prophet Bushiri.
Yes.
Who, he was the one who was arrested for money laundering a few weeks ago.
Alf Lukau.
And Prophet Shepherd Bushiri.
Yeah.
Who were, the money laundering dude. And the two of them have been having these war of words. The one saying, I think Bushiri was saying that Pastor Alf was, you know, just using the Lord's words in vain. And, you know, he was attention seeking. And then 2 seconds later, Bushiri donated 400,000, almost 400,000 rands to the fires that happened in Alex. I don't have the energy. I really don't have the energy
to do
it.
Well, it seems like the media are also trying to pull out bits of information and keep the story going. Because there's an article here about Pastor Lukau.
Mm-hmm.
Who is now at loggerheads with his Santon neighbors over a multi-million rand guest house he's currently building in Morningside. And there's a character residence in Huntingdon Road, where the guest house will be. And in order for him to build his big building, his multi-million rand guest house, this place has to be destroyed.
Oh, how just is this when our hearts are meant to pour and just pump custard for him?
No, certainly
not for
him.
What a tough life. Really, what a tough life. I still go back to the good old adage of, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And that's my stance on the matter. And I think that's my stance on a lot of things to survive the politically correct times of 2019 that we live in. I really just don't want to engage in anything if it's going to result in just loggerheads with someone who is just not stuck to their point, because cool, stick to your point, and if that's what you're about, go ahead. But if it's just going to turn negative and nasty, I'm not about being negative and nasty, even if it is what I personally believe, because I don't think it's going to solve the situation. And I came to this stance, particularly with the pastors, when I was candidly speaking to someone who attends Bushiri's church. And this is someone who I know, who's in my life quite commonly, and I didn't know that they attend the church. But this is after the money laundering situation, and I really, with an open mind, wanted to get their take on the matter. Mm. I wanted to find out, like, was he in the middle of a sermon when he was just whisked out and arrested, and now after the all of the stories we know what happened, he was away with his wife, and that's when some random dorpi, and that's where he was arrested. But I wanted to find out that first Sunday after the arrest, how that happened. You know, you walked into church and who was standing
up
there,
yeah.
And what was the communication from the staff at church? And this person said to me, maybe they weren't the best person to have this conversation with, but they said,
but you didn't have much of a choice here. You only had one witness.
Small pickings. And she said to me, oh, you know, I didn't care what they had to say in any case. And I don't care to hear what the media has to say in reporting the story, because how dare they even arrest our pastor by, you know, why did they even go onto his private jet? They didn't have any right to be on his private jet. And that's where they found the fact that there were illegal currency on there. I'm like, excuse me, woman, like, are you hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth right now?
Mm.
So you are cognizant and aware of the fact that he had money that he wasn't meant to have in the first place.
Mm.
And he was about to fly off and go to Malawi, if I'm not mistaken. So he was ready to leave the country with money he wasn't meant to have.
Yeah.
And for you, that's not the point of concern. The point of concern is, oh, woe unto him. He's the victim here.
Yeah, leave him alone.
Because he was just taken advantage of on his private jet. And I thought, okay, well, this is when you really don't engage anymore. And this is when, if someone sees things the way they do, then I'm really just not going to engage much.
Well, Professor Dion Foster at Stellenbosch University has provided some insight as to why Mzansi has become a breeding ground for these so-called fake pastors.
Okay.
He's a leading expert on religion. He says there are a number of factors that make South Africans susceptible to abuse, because that's what it is really, is abuse, by religious leaders. Because churches and religious leaders are seen as more trustworthy than members of government or people in the private sector in South Africa. So people are looking out for someone that they can trust, some figure that they can just believe in. And pastors prone to fraud often display or exaggerate their wealth, which is exactly what we're speaking about now, to lure followers into thinking that poverty can be overcome by supernatural means.
Unpopular opinion time from your perspective. Mm. Do you have sympathy for these churchgoers?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, a lot of people are kind of brought up as whatever religion they are, in this case, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity becomes a huge part of their lives. And it becomes everything in their lives. And they live by that and trust it and trust in God and trust in these pastors. They tend to be in quite closed communities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either not a good idea or not accepted to question anything else. So to me, and, you know, I honestly think that a lot of religion is brainwashing. And I think that I feel that they have no other choice at this moment, which is kind of sad.
Mm.
But because they don't know anything different, maybe it should be that way. Maybe they're happy. Let them believe in something. I'm kind of jealous that they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I'll have to be honest, I don't have much sympathy for the churchgoers in all of these aspects. And this isn't a knock at belief. It isn't a knock at religion or Christianity at all. I just find it hard to wrap my head around as someone who has the weight of life on them. And you throw yourself into these situations. So you believe in God and you believe in Jesus and you believe in the Ten Commandments and what the scripture says. Fantastic. Go for gold. Good for you. But you have to have some level of rational thinking when you go, okay, yes, God exists in my books, but who is this guy who now is able to resurrect someone from the dead? Okay, great. So he might be ordained by God and have great powers. But then now it's coming out that this guy was a cameraman and worked as part of the church. And oh no, now his team at work can honestly confirm that he went MIA. So, and he had said he'd left work saying he's going to a funeral. It's not as if he just, you know, he was officially counted as dead at a hospital and there was a death certificate. And then now, on Sunday, our pastor now has had amazing ordained power. You know, it's little things like that for
me. So when you're presented with all of the facts, it's frustrating to watch.
Dispute.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
It's frustrating to watch people who will still deny those facts and continue to believe in what they believe.
You're more articulate, yes. But that's my point. And that's why I don't really have sympathy for these churchgoers. I think to a certain extent, you know full well what you're getting yourself into. And I consider myself to be a believer. Absolutely. Don't even get me started on what I think about the afterlife. And I think one day we'll all have wings and golden halos. But, but I still take everything with a pinch of salt. I think, you know, for me, is part of one of the things in the Bible that I don't really agree with is the fact that, you know, they say you should tithe 10% of your earnings. Now, I love me Jesus, but I open up my bank account and I go, whoo, so 10% of all of that should go to someone else. And rather, I think
we've already got the SARS Jesus after
So donate what you can donate, but I do believe maybe you can apply that part of the scripture to saying give 10% of yourself in some way. Give of your time, give of your love, give of your service, maybe in that way. But you know, it's taking certain things with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Couldn't imagine being at a church where my pastor has to come in a fleet of Mercedes Benzes.
Yes.
And have a security detail and live in a mansion. And meanwhile, I'm donating 10% of my money and going, oh, Jesus will take care of it. No.
No, I don't feel sorry for them in that regard. But you know what we have done is spoken about religion, which is generally not the best thing to do.
Yeah,
at 6:30 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Let's go back to my bathing antics. That's the best thing to do. Well, as much as we'll be in a bit getting into the five things that you need to know, some said by C as well, a little later in the show, we will have episode 5 of Blind History. Look, ooh. I'm not much of a history buff. I did take history in school, just was one of those things. But this podcast series really for me has opened my eyes up into some of the most intriguing figures in our time and of history. So I'm really excited and looking forward to the next edition of our podcast series, Blind History. If you don't know what it's about, Blind History is a crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women. And by great, well, we don't always mean good. So don't miss episode 5, which comes out today, looking at the life of Marcus Aurelius. Marcus, who ruled when the Roman Empire was at its most powerful, and after him, the world fell to pieces. Next time you see something profound on a fridge magnet, it might well have been something Marcus Aurelius first said, and his legacy is very much with us today. So get to cliffcentral.com website for Blind History, which is brought to you by Taylor Blinds. You can... let's give you some leeway if you are listening to this on podcast. So you can pause right now. You go into cliffcentral.com. You search Blind History. You can binge listen to the 4 previous episodes. And then you come back to this because that's when we'll be releasing the next edition of Blind History, episode 5 this morning. Michelle messaged us and she says, the more downtrodden or troubled people are, they're drawn to a something that they can hold onto. Mm. And then when the poo hits the fan, when the poo hits them hard, there we go, they find solace in something to believe in. Rationality flies out the window.
Yeah, it's hanging on to something. Because, and like I say, I'm envious of people who have something to hang on to when times are tough. Because being a realist and sometimes a pessimist and most times an agnostic atheist, all of the ists, you feel kind of lonely when the poo hits the fan, you know?
Yeah. I'm hearing that. Absolutely. Mm. I'm not discounting that or discrediting that at all. But I'm saying even if rationality is out the window, I'm just as a human being, there must be like 1% of rationality that stays when you realize that you do not have any money and you are going to part with the little that you have. Mm-mm. And then next week you've heard that your pastor has bought a new car.
Angifuna.
Angifuna. But with something that we do, Funa, the 5 things that you need to know this morning. Let's get into that. First thing that you need to know this morning, the SAA pilot who was forced to resign over his fake license will appear in court. So this is a former senior SAA pilot discovered to have flown aircraft with forged paperwork for more than 20 years.
Oh, my word. Well... okay. He may have not known what he was doing in the beginning, but he's got 20 years experience now, and I actually wouldn't mind flying with him. I don't have a problem with it.
So that's also my thing. You know, I wouldn't have loved to be in one of his initial flights, but you know, maths is always bad for us. So let's just calculate roughly, if he flies about like 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
20 hours a week times 52 weeks of the year times 20 years. Ah, he has more than 20,000 flying hours. I'm sure experience, they say, is the best teacher.
Yeah,
I would have trusted.
He's probably better than some people first starting out who have legit certificates.
Exactly. Well, that person has been arrested and appeared in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court. This is what police said yesterday. Mail and Guardian reports earlier this month that William Chandler was forced to resign after it was discovered that his airline transport pilot license was fake during a probe into a reportable incident. Now, according to the news site, the incident involved a flight he piloted from OR Tambo International Airport to Frankfurt in Germany. SAA then opened a fraud case against the former pilot. Police spokesperson Brigadier Vishnu Naidu confirmed to media that Chandler had been arrested at OR Tambo. His lawyers handed him over this morning, which is yesterday, at OR Tambo. He was charged with forgery and uttering. He was taken to the Kempton Park Magistrates Court, where he was released on 5,000 rands bail. Only 5,000 rands per?
Yeah, I mean, surely he's sitting on a bit of money, having done all these long-haul international flights for 20 years.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, maybe we'll ask Pinky a little later in the show to explain this. Because how is the bail amount defined? Or how do they get to the bail amount.
Mm.
That's 5,000 rand to me for what you've done.
And look, he's quite a flight risk. Dun, dun, dun.
How long were you sitting with that? You were like, it's itching to get to that.
I had to pull out my eczema cream.
But him, 5,000 rands, Mumpy and Joe with the Mumpy and Joe and Babes Will Do Masaga only got 2,000 rands bail. And I know it's in the US, but it's a most recent comparison that we have. Then R. Kelly has to pay like 25,000 rands for 25,000 US dollars for
yeah.
each of his victims. So there were four currently. So he had to pay 100,000 US dollars.
Yeah, it's obviously very different here.
I wonder.
I don't think bail necessarily fits the crime here. Yeah.
I wonder. Okay. So we'll figure that out a little later. But he was released on 5,000 rands bail and Chandler's expected back in court on May 15th, 2019. The second story that you need to know this morning, we're back to talking water around Cape Town now. The city of Cape Town yesterday urged residents to continue saving water despite the easing of restrictions. Residents are now being allowed to water their gardens.
Aww. Ooh.
Congratulations, nice. Cape Town. Only after 6 p.m. though, mm-hmm. or before 9 a.m. on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays for a maximum of 1 hour.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, do you really water your garden more often than that?
I don't know.
You'd have to take off work.
Stop, I don't do that.
To follow that routine, you know?
People have also been urged to only use water efficient irrigation like dripper systems, drip lines, or soaker hose irrigation systems. Cape Town dam levels are currently at 52.2%, much higher than last year this time when it was standing at 24%.
I wonder how many people when the restrictions were lifted just rebelled and took that extra long shower that they've wanted for years.
A year in the making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How it feels. In an update on the Ethiopian airline crash.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, we have to bring this up, but the crashed Ethiopian Airlines black box has been recovered, according to state media. Earlier yesterday, Ethiopian Airlines said it had grounded its Boeing 737 MAX 8 fleet after a crash that killed 149 passengers and 8 crew. Following the tragic accident of ET-302, Ethiopian Airlines has decided to ground all B 737-8 MAX fleet effective yesterday, 10 March, until further notice. This is what the state-owned carrier said in a statement released on Twitter yesterday. Although we don't know yet,
We don't really know.
Thank you.
I'm trying to help, but I don't know what you want to say.
Cause of the accident.
Yeah.
We have to decide to ground the particular fleet as an extra safety precaution. This is what the airline, which is, by the way, news to me, Africa's largest airline.
Mm.
So all 157 people on board died when Nairobi-bound flight ET-302 came down just 6 minutes after taking off from Addis Ababa. It plowed into a field near Tulufara village outside the town of Bishtofu, some 60 kilometers southeast of the Ethiopian capital.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things happening now. Airlines worldwide are grounding their Boeing 737 MAX 8s.
I heard South Africa has one.
Comair.
And we've done the same?
Yeah, we've done the same. And also Boeing has announced that it's going to roll out design changes. Well, thank goodness, because obviously something's not right there.
Yeah.
As more and more aircraft are being grounded. So alterations will be mandated by April, although the US air regulator says the model is still airworthy. However, the stats are showing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Boeing 737 MAX 8 is now the deadliest mainstream jetliner, according to statistics, because this is the second time in 5 months that something that this like this has happened and has obviously thrown the stats right up there.
Oof.
So fatal flights per million That's defined as flights with at least one fatality.
Okay.
Concorde is obviously right up there with 11. In second place now, with an estimate, a new estimate, is the Boeing 737 MAX with 4. Just for context, behind that is the Boeing 747-100, mm-hmm. 200, 300, and SP with 2 fatal flights per million. So it's pretty much in the middle, or a third of the way between Concorde and the next in line, which was the Boeing 747.
Shucks. Ooh. I saw a video on Twitter yesterday. I still don't know if this is exactly accurate or not, and I guess we'll figure out over the next couple of days. There was a video that was trending, supposedly taken on the Ethiopian Airlines flight.
Oh, yeah?
As it was going down. In the video, it is someone who's taking a selfie video and panning throughout the entire aircraft. As you see everyone panic, it's everyone on board has their oxygen masks on. Mm. The cabin crew is pacing up and down. Children are crying. You can see by them the branding on the seats that it is an Ethiopian airline flight. So this very well could be video from the flight itself. It could be, I don't know, maybe the aircraft was Wi-Fi enabled and the person quickly posted it or sent it to someone as the flight was going down. I was reading an article yesterday around what was found from the remains of the flight, and actually they did say there was one of the rescuers had to stumble upon a phone that was ringing.
Oh, yeah?
And they didn't pick it up. They just rather silenced it because, my goodness, how are you now going to be able to say, oh, hi, John actually isn't coming to the office tomorrow because, you know, so silenced a phone there. So if a phone survived this crash, maybe that's how someone found this video. But it was quite sobering to look at that footage. And also just from this article I was reading yesterday about what was found, and I guess this also sensitizes us more to the story, because we're so quick as well to jump on numbers and it doesn't really impact us much. But when you think about the fact that there were these, you know, business cards that were found, there was this book that someone was reading that was found, there were these funky rock band t-shirts that were found as well. There were 18 people from Ethiopia who lost their lives. There were 32 people from Kenya, including a law student. There was a football official who was also on there. There was a former ambassador. There was an accountant. There was a tourist. There were doctors, a child protection workers, advocates, environmental activists. And also there were 19 workers from the United Nations and affiliated organizations who were on their way to a United Nations trip, some who work for the UN Refugee Agency and also the World Food Program, who were on board that flight, who lost their lives.
Yeah, it becomes more realistic when you humanize it and personalize it and go through the nitty-gritty details, which we don't always want to do because we all still have to fly.
Mm. And yeah, it is something to think about this morning. But look, true to form, as I thought, and that's why I didn't want to take it too much as gospel truth.
Yeah.
E from Cape Town says, hi guys, that video on board, in inverted commas, the aircraft is fake. The aircraft was a 777 Boeing in the video. The crash was a 737 MAX 8. B, I actually believe you more than I do everyone else who just mindlessly retweeted this video. So I'll take your word for it. I hope I'm not wrong. And how you know the difference between a 777 Boeing and a 737, I don't know. Maybe you watch a lot of air crash investigations.
Yeah.
Or you just love yourself some planes. But yeah, I'll take your word for it rather.
Well, she might know then that just to end this on some good news, mm-hmm. if you are going to fly in a Boeing 787. Because they're at zero. They've had no accidents, no fatal accidents. So, yeah, try and do a little check when you're booking your tickets and see what plane it is.
I don't want to even have these thoughts anymore. This is why I need some
whiskey.
Like, at least like a triple shot of whiskey. Get into the plane and call it a day. Then I'll be fine. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm not, I really don't want to have these overcomplicated, freaky thoughts.
Mm.
And just closing it off, the fifth thing that you need to know this morning. Police are currently investigating a murder case after the body of a three-year-old child, my goodness, was found at a dump site in Germiston. The toddler was found on Sunday after he had been reported missing at the Primrose police station on Saturday. Two boys who were with the three-year-old have been released into the care of their parents after they were taken in for questioning. Police spokesperson Kay Makubela said two boys have been taken in for questioning, a seven-year-old and an eight-year-old. They were released to their parents for care until the probation officer has taken a decision what can actually be done about them. So another unfortunate story coming out of the news recently, but those are the five things that you need to know this morning.
Hmm.
All right. I think we all need to feel a little bit about ourselves right now. Let's get some good news going. What say you, Leanne?
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, please.
I didn't get to the story yesterday and I was kicking myself for it. You know, sometimes I have these moments I'm driving back home. I'm like, oh, should have brought that up. Because I heard about this over the weekend and it is such a good news story coming out of an unfortunate incident. You know, the floods that took place in Johannesburg recently?
Yes, with our flash floods from heavy rain.
Yes, in Alexandra Township. And I'm sure by now you've all seen this video as well. People have been circulating this on social media. And I guess this day of fake news, we're glad that this is real. Because it was the video of the man who was swimming up to a 10-year-old boy who was stuck in the floods and saved the little boy. Mm. I mean, what more do you want to see to really warm your heart in that way? So he says, his name is Vincent Koza, he's 37 years old. He says that it was the heart-wrenching cries of a 10-year-old boy that moved him to risk his own life to save the child. Vincent won the hearts of South Africans after the video of him saving Mpilo Ngubane of Alexandra Township from the raging waters of the Yixkei River went viral on social media. The Mpilo was apparently trying to cross the river by crawling across a water pipe just below the bridge when he was trapped in the flooded river. Imagine how he was feeling at 10 years old.
No, well, I mean, I was caught in a bit of a flash flood during this whole recent season of torrential rains.
Oh, no.
I had my mum in the car and my brother. I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing a good thing. We'd gone to fetch an animal that we'd adopted.
Uh-huh.
We'd gone to go and, you know, choose him, and we were on our way back. And I've often thought, how do people get themselves involved in a situation where they're in a car and the water's flowing so quickly? I'm like, you know, surely you saw it coming and you maybe drove away.
Right.
But you can't. It happens so quickly. It's just on you before you even realize.
So what happened to you guys?
Well, it was the whole of Glenhove Road, actually, which was completely flooded.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to plow through it slowly and keep your engine going. You know, even though the water's up your doors, you've just got to keep going.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was hectic. And it lasted like 10 minutes and then it was gone.
But that is 10 minutes that you could not have possibly
said. No, it was pretty intense.
Yeah,
plus,
yeah.
I was in the car with my mom, who's in a wheelchair.
Oh, goodness.
And I just thought, we can't just get out or do anything like that. So it was pretty intense.
Yeah, so you think about what this 10-year-old was possibly feeling.
It happens very quickly.
Oh, goodness.
People aren't necessarily being silly. It's a flash flood.
So thank goodness for Vincent Koza in this instance, because he was speaking out saying that he was on his way from helping out residents who recently lost their shacks after a fire broke out in the area when he heard a commotion near the bridge. Can this guy get any...
Sorry.
Can he get any more legendary?
I mean, next thing you're going to tell me he hurt his pinky on the bar.
Really?
In the morning.
Leanne, that example you're using is just a bit too close to home right now. But I mean, he was helping people rebuild their shacks, and then he was on his way home, and this happened as well. But Vincent says, I wanted to help when I saw that child trapped in the water. It was like seeing one of my own children in trouble. I could see that I was taking a big risk and that I could also die, but I decided to do it anyway. He says that God gave him the strength, and that is why he was able to save 10-year-old Mbilo. Vincent Kwaza said he could hear Mbilo crying loudly as he approached the pipe. The strong current was flowing below the bridge, and Kwaza had to move carefully on the slippery pipe. When I got to him, I held him and turned him to face the other direction. I instructed him to hold on to me, and I started moving towards the grassy area. We are so, so glad that this has turned out amazingly well. MEC for Community Safety, Sizakele Nkosi Malobane, who visited the area recently, said the nation was touched by Vincent Kwaza's bravery, and saying that South Africa as a whole is excited about him. So, goodness, kudos to Vincent Kwaza.
What a busy man.
Busy saving lives. You really are a real-life superhero.
Yeah, he can go to bed knowing that he's done his bit for the day.
Shucks. So that's your Said by Sia for this morning. It's quite a random question to ask, but have you ever saved someone's life? Like in this instance?
No, not all by myself. You know, I think we all do little things sometimes that might help keep a person alive or contribute towards their better situation. But not single-handedly.
Because I think of how selfless really isn't even the word. How you just go and slip straight into a mode of just trying to help this person. You aren't thinking about yourself. You aren't thinking about what you have to lose. You think about how Vincent literally just like went straight for this kid.
Yeah, I suppose there's a difference between helping someone or saving someone's life when it's not going to harm you in any way, or there's no huge risk.
Mm.
But then it's another thing when you put your own life at risk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can save someone's life by donating the 3 million rand that they need to get by.
Right.
You know, to lift them above the poverty line and give them a good life, with no direct harm to yourself.
Yeah.
But putting yourself in harm's way is another story completely. I mean, that's when you are a real hero, right?
I'm interested to hear if someone out there has saved someone's life. I'd love to hear the story. 079-748-2090. You can text us or call us 0861-555-189 or Skype us, Cliff Central Studio. Because I was thinking about this, the closest I've come to saving someone's life is, it all happened by chance really, so I'm not even going to claim to be a Vincent. But I was at home growing up in Durban, and I was in our second story bathroom, and our neighbor's house only has a single story. So from our second floor, we're able to see their whole entire garden. And as I was in the bathroom, how am I retelling all of my bathroom stories this morning?
Yeah.
But anyway.
We know now that you spend a lot of time in the bathroom.
Yes, but I was peeing in our bathroom and our windows at eye level. And I was looking out into their garden, and I started noticing like a lot of movement around. And there were three guys in their yard, and by that time, we later discovered that those guys had actually broken into their home, and they had tied up two of the members, two of the family members next door. So just from seeing these three people, I then like just ran downstairs, let everyone else know, and we called the police, and we were able to actually get the police there silently and in enough time to actually ambush these three people in the yard. So
they were caught.
Yeah, they were caught, and it ended well. But you think about what would have happened had I not seen it. Really, I'm not trying to toot my own horn.
No, that's...
But yeah, you think about what would have happened, because they already had these people tied up, and...
If you hadn't have had the call of nature at that point...
Look,
call... You know?
Answer that call.
And thank goodness it was that call and not the other call where you would have faced the opposite direction. With all of the stuff going on behind you, little did you know while you hummed and read your magazine...
was just mindlessly scrolling through Facebook. Who would have known? So I guess that's the closest I've come to saving someone's
life.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, man. Yeah, I'd put that right up there.
You see, but as you were noting, I wasn't risking my own life in it. I wonder, you know, they always talk about fight or flight. I wonder what I would have done if I had found people in my own yard, and, you know, would I have run back into the house and alerted everyone there? Would I have started to fight these people? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it also comes down to, you know, can you be seen as a hero if you save your own life as well? Have you been in a situation where you could have potentially died and you managed to save your own life?
Like, as in, perform CPR on yourself?
Like, no. What do you mean? No, like if you were involved in a house robbery and you managed to escape and call the police or, you know, situations like that.
I save my own life every day.
Every day.
The door against the killer, because the killer's out there. Don't mess with the killer. And then B from Cape Town, in conclusion as well, by the way, says that you are correct. Yeah, I do like me some aircraft. B says 777 has three seat aisles. Three seat aisles. And then finally, sorry. I thought he was repeating this phrase, but he's actually, he or she is laying out the entire aircraft plan to me. So 777 has three seat aisles, then another three seats, and finally three seats. So it's all 333. Mm-hmm. A total of 9 in a row.
Okay.
So this video, the video that was on social media of supposed Ethiopian airline flight, that is a 777. But a Boeing Max is three seats, one aisle, and then another three seats. So it has a total of 6 seats in a row. Do you get that? Because the Max sort of confused me. But basically, one has 9 seats in a row, the other has 6 seats in a row. So that's how you tell the difference. And then says, thanks, guys. Great job so far in this Cliffness week. Be from Cape Town. I like the term, Cliffness week.
Very nice.
Yes.
Cliffless, surely.
Be from Cape Town.
Okay.
Said Cliffness. But I think let's go with that Cliffless week. Yes, let's go.
What a Cliffless week.
What a Cliffness of a week. All right, when we come back, we will get into more new stories. We have some interesting clips as well to play and so much more. And also the new episode from our podcast series, Blind History. This is the Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.